This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got 66 degrees right now. Big difference from the last few days. A high today of 74 with sunshine. We'll have the five-day forecast coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by Chevrolet of Naperville. Let's kick things off with a check of Wall Street from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, we have gains across the board with the biggest for the NASDAQ composite. Here are the numbers. The Dow up 19 points to 22,303. NASDAQ is advancing 50 points or 0.75%, and the S&P up 5. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is advancing 0.33%. This year, for the first time ever, less than half of the vehicles sold in North America will be produced by Ford, GM, and Fiat Chrysler. That from IHS Market. And Ford sees a future in which we're not behind the wheel. It wants to be part of that as well. It's teaming up with Lyft to develop and deploy self-driving cars. Nike and Procter & Gamble are the ones pulling the Dow lower, at least bringing it into negative territory earlier. Nike shares are down 3.5% after it reported a quarter of falling North American sales, and the current quarter is going the same way. Now, P&G down 2%. The maker of Pampers is facing renewed competition from one of its biggest customers. Walmart says improved store brand diapers, baby wipes, and other products for baby will appear in its stores early next year. Finally, an indicator of future home sales has fallen the most since January. From the National Association of Realtors, pending home sales down 2.6%. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, the president's tax reform plan, we are talking with the economist Diane Swonk here in the studio. And how can Chicago win the new Amazon headquarters? Competition is underway.
Personal Finance Wednesday. Home builders are creating new incentives to try to lure young home buyers. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Trump administration releases its tax reform plan. Let's get a look at some of the major points with Diane Swonk, economist and founder of DS Economics at DianeSwonk.com here in Chicago. And she's here at the anchor desk with us right now. Diane, what's your view of what you've seen so far?
Well, what we have is we have a proposal and an outline. It has yet to go through the sausage making that is Congress. And what we really need to see is whether or not this is going to be tax cuts or tax reforms. And what we're hearing so far is actually the word tax cuts and tax reforms are being interchanged. This isn't really a plan yet. This is an outline. And once it gets through Congress, making the tough choices to actually make it reform, which would really help the U.S. economy and be revenue neutral. That's something that sort of people forget about. That doesn't seem to be on the agenda.
The lead on the first story that I pulled on this topic today says Mr. Trump's tax reform plan would dramatically lower rates for businesses and some individuals.
And it would. There's no question about that. The proposals are for major, major cuts in the rates. And there are some proposals for the reform side, which means eliminating some cherished deductions, which is important because that's how you pay for it. Even with that, some of the early analysis is that the kinds of cuts they're talking about that are not with even the offsets are still likely to add $1.5 trillion to the deficit minimally over the next 10 years. That's not the functional side that we want. What we really want is also ultimately something that can be bipartisan that's going to affect the economy so much. 86 tax reform took 3 years and was 10 years in the making. There was a reason for that. It was bipartisan. They thought about it. They also picked a lot of the low-hanging fruit, the easier stuff earlier. But I think it's really important as we move forward. This is something that's critical to growth in the U.S. economy, to keeping us competitive. But it can't just be tax cuts. And I'm afraid that what we're going to see is the low-hanging fruit of cuts alone without really thinking about how to keep it sustaining in long term.
So give us some examples of a reform package that economists would say is solid, especially a package that would help with economic growth.
Well, the key issue here is getting rid of some of these treasure deductions, and they call it, you know, broadening the base, lowering the rates, making it cleaner, making it easier for us all to do our taxes, and making a system where it's advantageous for U.S. companies to do business here and bring their profits back here. And there are aspects of this plan that have that in it, which is great, and we want to retain that, but you got to be able to pay for it. And the pay-fors are the difficult part, because it includes everything from, you know, deductions on your state and local taxes, deductions on your mortgages, deductions on interest, that many companies have a lot of interest and they don't want to deduct that, getting rid of the R&D tax credits and making a lower rate, so it's just more efficient. Well, companies that invest a lot in R&D, they don't want to lose those tax credits. What's interesting about this period is right before it is how much bipartisan support there was for making some of these difficult decisions. And also support by the business community of willing to do a give up to get a more efficient tax system. I think that's very important. There is a fertile ground for this. That said, when it really gets into the sausage making that we now have, which is even more divisive than it was before in Congress, I think that's very difficult to actually execute.
Is there some uncertainty in the possible impact on the wider economy or other aspects of the economy? I'm thinking specifically about something like mortgage interest, where could there be something in the housing sector if they go ahead and do away with that?
Absolutely. And one of the things we've seen is the higher end of the housing market has done better. So if you limit the deductibility on higher end homes, you are going to absolutely limit some sales. And already we've seen pending home sales today declined, and the National Association of Realtors lowered their expectations for sales. That said, other countries do really well without subsidizing massive homes. And there's a lot to be said for moving downstream and allowing people who do the standard deductions to actually deduct their mortgages, because they actually are doing something very positive for the U.S. economy. There's a lot more stability in those homes that they own. So there's a lot of things that economists would put in, but special interest groups get in the way. And, you know, that's why economists don't get elected to office. Well, nor run. I don't run.
Well, we will be talking about this from time to time as we go forward. Diane, always a great thing to sit down with you. Diane Swonk is a founder of DS Economics at dianeswonk.com here in Chicago. Up next, the effort to land an Amazon headquarters in Chicago now includes a committee of hundreds.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Mayor Emanuel and Governor Rauner have compiled a blue ribbon committee to lead the effort to bring Amazon's second headquarters to Chicago. Let's get the latest from John Pletz, senior reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. John, so give us some of the names of the people on this list who are working to try to lure the headquarters.
Well, the four people who are leading it are Oscar Munoz of United, Penny Pritzker, who is former Commerce Secretary, Jim Reynolds from Loop Capital, and Miles White, who's the CEO of Abbott Labs.
Why specifically these four at this point? What sorts of things do they bring to the table?
Well, it covers a lot of bases. Obviously, transportation is of huge importance to Amazon and their RFP. So United, and they're also one of the biggest companies in town, so that makes a lot of sense. Penny Pritzker, you know, having been Secretary of Commerce, the connectivity there is huge. She's also been a CEO in town for a long time. She's been involved in other efforts. The same with Jim Reynolds. He's been involved in a lot of civic efforts also, you know, in the finance world. And Miles White, you know, he's the CEO of a large company, and he's a former chairman of the Civic Committee, the Commercial Club. So, you know, that's somebody who has spent a lot of time sort of wrangling and working with other CEOs in town. So that's what you're really getting there, is a connective tissue.
A number of cities were named as possible headquarters territory, but what do we see right now? Who has the best chance?
I think you can argue that Chicago's got a really good shot, but we don't know who's got the best chance. At this point, it's sort of a free-for-all. I think Amazon will cut that list down. You'll get a list of finalists, and I think that's where it'll really start, and that, you know, may happen toward the end of the year. They'll make a decision early next year. Sort of the short list that every armchair quarterback has tossed around. You've got cities like Chicago, Washington, maybe New York, maybe Atlanta, Dallas, Denver, Toronto, Boston. So, you know, those are sort of the names that get thrown around a lot. But, you know, you won't know until you see how closely Amazon is following that RFP. It was very detailed.
And we're assuming that the governor and the mayor will work together on this.
They seem to be very much arm in arm. You know, the invites went out from the governor and the mayor's office. Everything I've heard indicates that the state is very much on board with the city, and those two groups are working probably as closely together as they worked on anything.
When you see some of the things that Amazon's looking for, it almost seems that Chicago is a no-brainer. I mean, is there anything that some of these other cities have that Chicago doesn't that might end up being significant?
Sure. You know, I think the tech talent pool is always a big question. That's not the only talent pool they're going to need to draw from. And that tech talent pool looks different in different places. It depends where your customers are, where you think you need to be. Do you want to be on a coast? Are you okay with that? If you don't want to be on a coast, that changes the equation. It depends on what kind of talent pool as well. It also depends on, you know, what sort of market. You know, they've been very clear that they're looking for an urban market. Mass transit's important. Connectivity in terms of air service. Can you get there from here? So all those things are important, and what you don't know is how important each piece is, and that's, you know, that'll change the equation, and then, you know, at some point you're going to be talking about incentives.
That's John Pletz, senior reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Thanks for joining us. Coming up next, we'll get an update on the markets from Bloomberg.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's get an update on the markets now with Elisa Peretti.
Well, Chris, we have all three of the main benchmarks in the green. The Dow is up 20 points at 22,305. NASDAQ is higher by 52 points, and that is a gain approaching 1%. S&P up 5 at 2502. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago benchmark is up a third of a percent, and it's worth a quick check of the year-to-date numbers. They're impressive. The Dow higher by 13%. The NASDAQ composite is up 19.5% since January 1. S&P advancing 12% over the last months. We also have crude oil futures on the rise today. They're up 0.4% to $52.11 a barrel. We have a check of the grain markets as well. For that, we turn to Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have mixed prices here today. Corn's been up 2 to down 4 at the moment. December up a half at 3.52¾. Beans have been down 5.5 to up 3. At the moment, November beans up 1¾ at 9.65¼, and wheat is up 7, one off its high after being down 4. Mixed prices at the moment, everything a little higher, a harvest pressure helping hold things from going too far. And this is Pete at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. We've got gold futures lower by $14 or more than 1% to $12.87 an ounce. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are a little higher at this hour. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Personal Finance Wednesday. A new generation is cautiously exploring home ownership.
Macy's makes changes in its loyalty program. It's an effort to bring in more shoppers.
Governor Rauner and Mayor Emanuel put together a very large committee in the effort to lure Amazon to Chicago.
President Trump's tax overhaul plan calls for the corporate rate to drop from 39.6 to 20%, while nearly doubling the standard deduction for individuals.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 19 points, the NASDAQ up 53.5, and the S&P 500 up by 4.5.
Breezy, much cooler today and less humid as well. Lots of sunshine, high of 74 degrees. Right now, 69 degrees in Chicagoland. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Markets are creeping into positive territory today. We're joined by Tim Grisky, Chief Investment Officer at Solaris Asset Management in New York. Tim, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. What do you see in today's trading?
Well, Chris, we started off pretty strong here, and the market has held on to most of those gains. They're pretty modest in the broad market, maybe 0.25%. A lot of news out there today. I think the main thing going on is that technology shares are seeing buyers after a week or so of some selling there. So that group is stronger. And I think in particular, small cap stocks continue to have a very strong run on the back of the tax bill, which we expect to start to move its way through Congress. That should really benefit small companies.
So when you see the small companies and also the technology gaining on Wall Street, does that tell you that that this will be continuing?
I think it's a good sign. Certainly, you know, with the tax bill coming, I think we're likely to eventually see something move its way through Congress in terms of legislation. Taxes are very popular in terms of a tax bill is very popular in terms of reducing taxes. And if the Republicans can move that through Congress, and get it enacted, that should continue to, I think, drive this market higher. A big benefit for lots of companies, hopefully for individuals. And I would highlight small companies. They are going to be really the big winners here.
Let's, for just a moment, let me ask you, what are the chances that this plan will look like it looks now when it actually gets through Congress? Is that a worry on Wall Street that there'll be lots of changes to it?
Well, I think this guy, it's a reality. You know, anything that is presented by a president doesn't necessarily get enacted. And like this president in particular isn't a traditional Republican. So he does not have full support of the Republican Party. There is, I think, the opportunity to cross lines here, go across the aisle and engage some Democrats in tax cuts. I think the eventual legislation, if indeed there is legislation, is likely to look different than what is going to be proposed.
And is there maybe a better chance for bipartisanship on something like this than some of the other bills that the president has been pushing? Because I'm asking that because I'm imagining businesses would put pressure on both Republicans and Democrats to get something done.
Yeah, well, I think so. And I think individuals will as well. Trump is a populist, and tax reform, tax reduction is a very populist subject. So we would expect something to get done. We'll see how extensive it is. I do think it's more likely than some of the other legislation. I also think that the White House and Congress, and especially the Republican Party, are still learning how to work with each other. And I think that's the reason we haven't seen a lot of legislation make its way through Congress successfully.
Let's talk briefly about one of our story stocks today, and that is Twitter, which is not going to be as brief. It's going to be allowing changes to the character limit, making it longer.
Yeah, they're going to double the number of characters, at least in most languages, allowing people to opine for longer here. It's really going to be a test. They're going to try it out, see how it's received. Twitter has a long road ahead of it in terms of its ability to really attract advertisers and show advertisers that there is a return for their money. And they have not done that successfully. And that's why the stock has really languished here up today, but it's really sort of bouncing off of almost a historic low here on this news.
Because the fact is, you know, simply allowing people to type more into the format isn't going to do anything for the bottom line.
It's not going to help in terms of advertising. I would really doubt that. I don't think it's going to attract new users either, and that's another problem for Twitter. But it will allow current users to type more. Maybe that will make them happy.
Well, here's another story for stock today. Nike's China sales are booming, but demand is waning here in North America. What's going on?
Well, Nike reported a very good quarter in terms of earnings, although the quality of the earnings, you know, was not good. A lot of it was tax-driven. And I think the major news, is, as you suggested, was that the U.S. Sales were weak. And that was, I think, the big news, down 3% in footwear and overall. And that's a problem for Nike. And the outlook for them, they reaffirmed their outlook for revenues, but margins are going to contract. And that means earnings are going to be weaker than they expected, and not good for investors.
Tim Grisky, always appreciate you being with us. Tim is Chief Investment Officer at Solaris Asset Management in New York. Ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, the millennial generation enters a slumping housing market.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, sponsored by Country Financial. Home sales are down, but there's a new group of buyers beginning to enter the market. Let's talk about the young home buyer with Guy Sakala, publisher, InsideMortgageFinance.com. InsideMortgageFinance.com. Guy, tell us about these young home buyers and why they're so eager to start buying.
Well, basically, we're running out of older home buyers. A lot of them have gone through the trade-up market, and the future really lies with what, you know, people generally characterize as the millennials, you know, those basically 35, 37 years old and younger. A lot of them are just getting to the point they're starting to raise families, and they're looking for homes. So that's the next generation of home buyers as far as the housing market's concerned, but they do face some challenges and obstacles.
I saw a report that one home builder is going to start paying off young people's student loans if they buy a house. Are we going to see interesting incentives to get that generation into the home buying business?
I think that's exactly right. And student loans is one of the biggest obstacles any home buyer generation has faced. You know, while there have always been student loans around, the cost of college now makes it not that unusual for someone to graduate and owe $100,000 or close to that amount, and that makes it very hard to think about buying a home when you've got that kind of debt outstanding.
At the same time, for August, pending home sales dropped 2.6%. Is that a problem going forward?
Well, it's certainly a slowdown. You know, one of the things that's characterized the housing market over the last few years is steady but somewhat slow growth, and I think we're likely to see that for the next year or more. Perhaps it's not a big negative because, you know, everyone's concerned about having an overheated housing market and possibilities of a bubble. I think that's very unlikely when we see the kind of slow, if not anemic, home sale levels that we have now.
And we've got all the weather-related issues in some parts of the country as well.
Yeah, housing tends to be very regional, and it varies by market. And yes, some of them, obviously the ones that have been hit by the recent hurricanes, are going through very difficult situations and very different from other areas of the country where, you know, the housing market is basically doing well and hasn't been battered by any hurricanes.
Nice to have you on the program as always, Guy. Thanks for joining us. Guy Sakala, publisher of InsideMortgageFinance.com in Bethesda, Maryland. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday when we look at Amazon's partnership with the NFL. That starts with tomorrow night's Bears-Packers game in Green Bay. Still to come, Macy's reinvents its customer loyalty program.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Macy's is hoping a makeover of its loyalty program will inspire shoppers. We're joined by Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Jan.
It's great to be here.
Well, among the retailers losing business to Amazon, that's what we're talking about here, Macy's. And it's also seeing a slowdown at the malls with many other kind of old-fashioned stores. So what is the plan here?
I think you've just described the problem. Stores feel old-fashioned. Macy's is trying to feel less old-fashioned, and they're certainly trying to get more friendly, I'll say, with their customers. And so you can be a silver member, you can be a gold member, you can be a platinum member, depending on how much you spend at Macy's in a given year. And if you spend more than $1,200, you're in that platinum category, and you actually get a lot of benefits, but you also get 5% back. So when you think about it, you know, Amazon Prime has benefits, Costco's membership has benefits, Kohl's has a great loyalty program. Macy's is just trying to make its loyalty program much more compelling because they need to sell more to their existing customer base. And to do that, they need to make them feel like they're more important to Macy's, that they're doing more for them. And they're going to add things to this as time goes on to give you better experiences when you shop with Macy's. So I think it's a great idea. Everybody needs to do this. It's like everybody needs to be online, everybody needs brick and mortar, and everybody needs a loyalty program. And if you can make it good enough, you can get more out of your customer base and your customers like you better.
Will Macy's get customers back to the mall?
I am very concerned that we're not going to see anything but falling traffic at the malls in general. Now, some of the best malls are still going to have growth in traffic, but of the 1,000 or so enclosed malls out there, the average is dropping about 6% per year in traffic every year for the past 4 years, and it'll be true again this year. So, no, I don't think this is going to get traffic rising at the mall. But if you can get more sales out of each customer that comes to you and out of your best customers, and if you can get more sales to them online by having a loyalty program, it's still a really good idea. And then if you can just slow down the erosion in your traffic, maybe you can make it up on the other side, which is online.
Does this show that some retailers are having to move over to a model that says to customers, hey, save money with us, whereas it used to be they wanted the prices to be expensive? That's what customers, there's sort of a thrill to being able to shop in a store like that.
Well, that used to be true, but the biggest growth area right now is off-price. That's TJ Maxx, Burlington stores, people like that, or Ross stores. They're getting the most growth in retailing, and the other growth in retailing, that kind of retailing, apparel retailing, is all coming online. So there's really no growth in that traditional mall-based, more expensive full-price category, and I don't see that changing. This trend has been, well, the trend in off-price has been going on for 20 years, and when you think about it, the trend online started almost 20 years ago as well.
Jan Rogers-Niffen, always appreciate you being on the show. Jan is CEO at J. Rogers-Niffen Worldwide. An update of the markets from Bloomberg next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Business news sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialist. And here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow higher now by 24 points or 0.1% at 22,308. NASDAQ is gaining 65 points or 1%. S&P higher by 7 at 2504. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining 0.5% now. Walmart spent a year redesigning its store brand diapers. The new Parents Choice brand launches early next year. They've got 100 upgraded baby products and 120 new products. It's clearly a shot at Target, which has found success this year with new nursery decor, and it's more competition for the makers of Huggies and Pampers, and shares of Kimberly-Clark and Procter & Gamble are down. P&G is down about 2.5%. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.